What younger players in the league reached out to you that it caught you off guard?
Kyrie, if there was ever footage of me and him going at it, oh my God, it was crazy.
Who won? What is up? What is good? How you living? How you feeling? How you doing? It is the Big Podcast with Shaq, where we always do it.
Big.
Hey, we finally got it. Yes. And today, I am proud to introduce, from Seattle, Washington, a man that played for 2 decades on 9 teams with 3 6 Man of the Year trophies. No one has more 4-point plays in NBA history. No one has a bag of moves like him.
Shaq said timeout.
Hold on, you played longer than me?
Yeah, Shaq.
Hell no.
Our teammate from TNT, would you ever think, Jamal Crawford?
Hold on, you play longer than me?
I did.
And you got more 50-point games than me?
More 50-point games. You got more rings and points and everything else, though. More money, everything.
He was always on my list.
Of? Dudes you don't touch up?
Leave him alone.
You told me that, Shaq.
It's a vaunted list. It's you, it's Allen Iverson, it's Vince Carter, and that's white great. Chocolate.
And white chocolate.
People Shaq, he liked to watch.
When I first saw Shaq, of course everybody knows about Shaq, but when you see him in person, and he was last, this is like the vaunted Lakers, and he's last. And
he you're talking out, like coming out to coming start out the game.
To start the game. And they start playing the Undertaker music. Dom.
Dom, da, dom.
He's just walking to the music. Shit.
How old were you?
19, and I can't stop looking at him. I keep looking. I'm like, this is the...
Yeah, but that's not the first time I met you.
When was the first time we met?
You and a couple guys were standing outside in L.A. Oh, yeah. And y'all couldn't get in.
That's true. That's a fact.
And they couldn't get in. That's and I walked fact. Out, and I was like, let him in. And like Shaq was like, what'd I say? Let him in, and they let him in.
That's a fact. That's a true story.
Never been I knew who he was. I knew he was. I'm a fan. Like, I had a couple of so-called defense players on my team, but they always relied on me. Like, they would do the fake pressure and then try to bring them so I could block the shot. But I'm like, no. 3 guys, and when they come into town, I'm not helping at all. Mm. Him, Vince Carter. T-Mac was on that list, too, and AI. Oh, they used to be so, man, you got to show them something. Like, no, guard them. You're talking all this shit in the locker room, but you can guard them. So I just used to. And then, like, you know, sometimes in the game, I wonder if this is point shape or not. Like, we make eye contact, and I go. And I just be like, hey.
Jamal?
Go. Yes. All the time, I just go. Like, hey, man, go to work.
I mean, I got a free pass.
Yeah, I got a free pass.
You noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. I told you I couldn't stop looking at him.
So is this, now you have me like on a whole nother thing. Like, so are there times where like there's a battle that's happening on the court and everyone's like, let's just get the hell out of the way and let these dudes
That's the game within
other.
The game.
Mm.
Those happen all the time. You don't hear about it.
No.
You know, it's like unspoken. You know what I'm saying?
How could I figure it out? Like, if I'm watching a game, like, what are the things to look for to see if that's starting to bloom?
You'll never be able to figure it out. You just know you got two intense players going at each other. Now,
like Wemby and Chet, like, that felt different.
That's a game within a game.
Gotcha.
Okay, but when you promote that, that's what I want to see as a fan. Like, if it's Wemby versus Chet, don't send no double. Chet, you guard Wemby, and Wemby, you guard him. So, you know, they be like, oh, show on the screen, you got a trap. Nah, I ain't doing none of that shit. Get over. You got him. Mm. You got him. Man, I can't. To say it again, you can't guard him?
And especially in our era, to his point, you used to have to guard your matchup. There wasn't no running. There wasn't no hiding. There wasn't no, okay, if a pick comes, you switching. Like he said, you're going to get over, you're going to get through that. Mm. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So you had to take that matchup.
I'll ask this one first. Was there anyone, because your bag is ridiculous, was there anybody that you're like, oh, that's actually kind of a tough cover?
Oh, shit. Iverson?
No. Guarding you.
Oh, guard me, Tony Allen. Mm. Because he didn't give a shit about scoring. Him scoring was getting a stop. So he took pride in that.
He was never expending any energy
on it. None on offense. It was all defense. And the thing about it is every defender has a weakness. You just got to figure it out. And I had to, it took me time and time. Like, oh, okay. As good as he is on the ball, he starts ball watching if you get a ball up. So I would pass and just stand, move. And he would still be looking at the ball. I'd be over there. So I figured that out about him. That's how I started getting more points, because he was so good, like when he was actually guarding me.
Just, he would be under people.
Yes.
What up, y'all? Whether I'm doing the big podcast, hanging with the family, or covering the big game on TNT, you can't be at your best if you're not wearing clothing that feels great. American Giant. They make clothing that fits into your life, an impressive selection to choose from. When I'm at home, it's the crew t-shirt. It is comfortable. It is fashionable. It's perfect. So as the seasons change and the weather heats up, it's the perfect time to find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com. Get 20% off your first order when you use code BIG at checkout. 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code BIG.
Growing up in Louisiana, well, not growing up, but going to college in Louisiana, I seen the Pistol Pete tapes where he used to, his dad used to drive and he'd be dribbling
out the car.
And like he'd doing all these drills. So ask White Chocolate what he used to do. He used to put weights on his hands and dribble. Were there any special techniques that you use? Because like you said, you have a bag. So give me some techniques for the kids that's watching stuff that you used to do.
So you in Louisiana, I'm in Seattle, and it rains a lot. In the rain, I'm outside. You know how they'd be like, oh man, if you don't work on your game, there's somebody out there in the country outside right now. It was me. And in Seattle, that's why I dribble. So I've never done a cone drill in my life, but the rain, the snow, I'm learning how to dribble in the rain and the snow. So I'm like, if I can control the ball in these conditions, it's easy when I get in the court. So that was the best training method I ever had, was dribbling in the rain, because the ball gets slippery, it gets slick, and you're still trying the same moves and shit. And you don't have total control of it, but you learn how to control different things. Flow, pace.
That's the most Seattle shit I've ever heard of my entire life.
Yeah.
I was in the rain.
I was.
I see the way that you parent JJ, and I see the way that like you teach, and I'm curious who taught you. Because sometimes it sounds like you're self-taught, like you're out there on the court, but then I also know that you probably had like amazing teachers that like instilled, like how much was just you and how much was somebody else?
It was both, but I was like, even now, like I've always paid homage to OGs, but what I learned about myself is I love being around older people. I love knowledge. I love wisdom. I love to learn. You know what I'm saying? So I used to always be the dude that would go skip class sometimes and go in the barbershop and just listen to the old guys talk. And I got some knowledge from them. So my whole community, if you ask anybody about me when I was a kid, they'd be like, oh, he has some candy in one hand and a ball in another. That was me. Like I to a T, I always had a basketball with me. I used to sleep with my basketball. Literally, I'm sleeping here. The ball is right here. Mm. Every car I own right now, I got a ball in it. So I've just always, it became one with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, when you walk, you're not thinking left foot, right foot. You're just walking. When I'm dribbling, I'm never thinking about
it. It's like breathing.
It's breathing. I can lose the ball and it put me into another move.
So, not thinking about it. When I did my two crossovers, I thought about it before I did it.
Yeah.
Moves, like the moves that you did, like the one you just posted, did you actually think about that before you did? Did you say, okay, I'm coming down, I'm going to give it to him this way and then throw behind the back? Nah. Like you just,
and you can respect this because you know how you rap. I just freestyle.
Seriously?
Yeah. If I was a boxer, I'd be a counterpuncher.
All right, so how you
twice,
know?
I'm do it three times.
Okay, so how you know to bring your hand out? Like that move you did, I would have to say, okay, I'm going to go this way, throw it behind the back, and if he come, I'm going to do it again and then shoot the joint.
Like,
I'd be like,
the way I set it up, you've never even seen me do it.
Yeah, I've never seen you do that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you never seen me do it. I'm just thinking this on the fly. The move on Kirk Heinrich, I'm literally coming down the court.
Is that the around the back one?
This one, I went over his head.
Oh, you went over his head, yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, damn, we played. I'm thinking this when I got the ball. Okay, we played together. He knows behind the back. What am I going to do? Boom, and it just happens. That's why you never seen it again. I've never practiced that shit. But I just feel like with a ball, I could do anything. Because, like you said, I've kind of mastered. That's my flow. Mm-hmm. And I've mastered my flow of randomness and being, you know, instinctual.
All right, so we, our best buddy is the General. Don't we love the General?
Yes, we do.
We love the General. We need to break up a roster, okay? And so which player from that team could benefit the most from a clean break and joining another squad? And I've been given two teams.
All right, let's do it.
The Golden State Warriors
and
the LA Lakers.
Okay.
Is it who needs to be set free? So we're going to break up the current roster. Which team could benefit the most from breaking up the roster, the Lakers or the Warriors?
I'm going to choose Lakers because Golden State have been there and done that. And I don't want to say they're over, but LeBron is trying to add some more to his legacy, so I'm going to help him out. Got to get rid of Reeves. Give me another guy that can do that, but a guy that's a little more consistent. I'm not saying Reeves is inconsistent, but when you're playing and winning for a championship, you can have no inconsistency. I can remember maybe one or two games that my Big Shot Bob or my Brian Shaw was off, but when I needed them, they were already there. So I'm getting rid of him. I like the young cat who dunked on Wimby, the tall cat. He's cool.
The kid from Golden State, Trace Jackson Davis.
I like Trace Jackson, but
he's an older rookie.
I'm going to use Reeves because Reeves is a talent. I'm going to get me one more veteran, and I got to get three or four shooters. I got to get three or four bona fide knockdown shooters, and I got to
combine those two rosters. Yes. You'd have a really nice team.
And I got to get a Jamal Crawford, a guy that can come off the bench and just give me buckets.
Caris LeVert type.
Yes, yes. Nah, Caris LeVert is too up and down. Like, you got to understand, when you win in championships, there is no up and down. Like,
it's
when I'm
18 a game.
When I'm in the playoffs, forget my free throw percentage. I got to average 40. Not 35, not 32. I got to average 40. If I don't average 40, we don't win. And the one game I didn't average 40 in Indiana, I had like 29 something. Kobe looked at me and said, I got it.
That's when you fouled out.
Yeah. And he looked at me and was like, I got it.
If you're breaking up Lakers and Warriors, who?
Lakers. I'm with Shaq. They don't have enough to even compete right now. And my thing is, if LeBron's still your best player at this point, I'm looking at trading Anthony Davis.
Wow.
I'm not trading AD.
I'm just telling you, you can get four or five pieces to go with him that fit LeBron if LeBron's still going to be the best player.
I can't trade AD.
But if I can get a Kyrie Irving type, they need another wing, a dominant wing scorer. If they can get like a Kyrie Irving type who can just take over his quarters and be that Kobe to Shaq when stuff's in trouble, I got to take it over. Mm. That's what LeBron needs.
Real quick, this AD thing. So you're saying you'd move him for pieces. You're saying absolutely not.
No, because you definitely need a 1-2 punch. Like historically, 1-2 or 1-2-3 is what. So I know if you, like, when I challenge AD, he don't call me, he don't say nothing. He steps up to the challenge.
Drop 40 and 20.
He's a dog.
No, it's not his talent. It's just the fact that.
Roster construction.
So it's him and LeBron as our 1-2 punch. Now I need two shooters. I need a rebounder.
Look what the 1-2 punch has got him, though.
Yeah, that's true.
An in-season tournament banner.
No, but. Okay, so even that, let's go to the in-season tournament. I was there. The others played.
They were great.
Austin Reed had
Cam the flu Reddish game. Was balling.
He had the flu game. He had the Michael Jordan flu game. He had 30-something points. So, but you have to do that all the time. Consistency.
Who are you breaking up?
Of those two teams?
The same two you asked us about. Yeah, those two teams.
So what I'm looking at is who is the star player that needs new pieces? For the Warriors, we know that it's Steph. For the Lakers, it is the question, are you building around LeBron or are you building around AD? I know we have a lot of LeBron sexuals in the media. There was a fight recently between...
You mean about who loves him more and who loves him
more? But like,
that's what that means. Like when I saw the word, I was like, what the hell does that even mean? Got it.
You just thought it was people that maybe had sex with LeBron?
I don't know what I thought.
What was your thoughts on that, though, Shaq?
What?
When you saw that.
Oh, you're talking about with Shannon and...
and Kendrick
Who knew him and who loved him longer in the train and...
Shannon loves him from LeBron. LeBron could do no wrong with Shannon. And that's fine. That's understandable. I mean, listen, we all got our guys. Dr. J is my guy.
Yeah. Iverson's my guy. Who's your guy? Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But my thing would be... I know that, like what you said there, I thought was very poignant. If LeBron's still your number one, that's really your problem. And if people start arguing about how good LeBron is, but if you look back at the playoffs last year, LeBron will win you game one, and he's not going to be a big part of game two.
But that's okay. That's why you need the others to step up.
Totally get it.
Yeah, that's more think it's, others, though.
But he's 39.
I don't care. He's still giving 20 points.
Totally.
Let's talk analytics. You do 20, AD 30, that's 50. There we go.
Can you trust AD to do 30 all the time?
That's what I'm saying. He has to. I've seen him do it when he was with the Pelicans.
Oh, remember that?
He did it when I know, but still. So you got to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I want LeBron to enter his Andre Iguodala era.
You talking about Stephanie, other pieces? No. Clay needs to step up. Clay needs to be Clay. The episode of Big Podcast with Shaq is brought to you by The General. And you know Shaq loves The General. Before the league and all my championship rings, The General was there for me when I needed them the most. They gave me my big break on insurance. The General has been offering quality coverage for 60 years with low rates and flexible options to keep you covered. If you're ready for your big break, you know what to do. Visit TheGeneral.com today to get a quote. That's TheGeneral.com to get a quote today. And it wouldn't be The Big Podcast without The General.
Old heads always talk about the younger generations not being tough or maybe not wanting it as much. You're talking about like being on the court in the rain in Seattle.
Yeah.
You recently had a post that went very viral talking about issues in AAU basketball.
And it's freaking true.
Parents are overbearing. You got to teach these kids toughness and all that stuff. Will we ever get the kid on in the rain in Seattle training by himself, or has it gotten to a point now where everything is content and everything is team play?
I think we'll get there, but it's going to be OGs that set that foundation for them to get there. Like even JJ, you brought him up. He's very blessed. Like we have a court at the house. When I was looking at my court, I'm looking at Shaq's. Shaq, how you do it? What did you do? Like I'm watching everything, right? So he's comfortable in that situation, but I got to make it uncomfortable for him in other situations. So he understands that it ain't sweet. You got to do it. And so for me, I'm probably harder on him. And you have a cheat code. Like, I did it.
Yeah.
I can give you the blueprint of how to do it. And sometimes I know I'm just dad, but I have a blueprint to how you can do it. So you have a cheat code. Same with Shaq. That message you're talking about, me and Shaq talked about that. He's like, man, I was coaching my son in Bobo and these parents. And I'm like, damn, this is really an epidemic. This has been going on forever. This is Shaq. Mm.
And the problem is they see this through their children.
Yes.
And you have to let...
Living through them.
You have to let, like, it's... But,
oh, they're looking at their children as they're going to give them the lifestyle they've always wanted.
Exactly. And so, and it happens when the child goes viral. That's the first. Second, these rankings. Like, I had a guy tell me, my son is the number one fifth grade, and I'm like... Like, bro, okay, and he should be. I said, no, you should fucking let him be a kid. What do you mean? I said, bro, sixth grade, seventh, like, bro, this see how it pans out.
Right.
What you should do is always encourage him. Don't, you know, under camps and all that. So, again, these parents, these rankings, these going virals, and then these AAU coaches that got deals with these big programs, and, they're promising them stuff. And then the killer. The NIL.
That's a whole different
thing. That's a whole issue. It's just killing the game. I spoke at LSU the other day and they said, what do you think about NIL? I said, well, I can see both sides. For me, college was a place of higher learning. Nobody in my family had ever graduated. My parents said, you're going to graduate. And I'm thinking about
a fraternity. Yes, you got to be on all a team. That.
So I wasn't even thinking about money. And then, I had this conversation with Sharif. He said, hey, man, they want to offer me a shoe deal. I was like, son, your father owns two very wealthy shoe companies. Like, you want to come do this? You want to come, like, do what you like, but, know who you are. And know, yeah. Like, you want to get the less money now? Like, me, if I was in college, if we're going to do a deal, we're going to do a deal. Okay, Reebok, you want to sign me? I want 50 for 10 right now. Don't give me no 100,000. Fuck that 100,000. Because my dad told me something one time. It kind of fucked me up. My sophomore year, I was like, we fucking going pro. He's like, nope. And I said, why? He said, bro, we've been broke for 17 years. We can be broke for 18 years. 300 days. And then, in those 300 days, because when I came out my sophomore year, my mother, after me and my father argued, my mom said, come on. Because me and him was about to go to blows. It was the first time. And like, he's like, you fucking, you stand up to me. I like that shit, but you're not going pro. I was like, motherfucker, I'm going pro. Fuck that. My mom's like, come on, because y'all going to start fighting. And my mom said, balance a checkbook. And I couldn't. I couldn't balance a fucking checkbook.
That was it right there.
Yeah. Damn. And she said, baby, she said, listen, you can do what you want to do, but you're not ready. So now my junior year, when my dad said, we've been broke for 18, I was like, okay, in these next 300 days, I'm going to learn a little bit about business. So I fucking took accounting. I took all my marketing. I took all that shit. So my junior year, when she said, balance that checkbook, my shit was prettier than a motherfucker.
Minus 40, zero, plus 110.
Yeah, and 15% from, shit was, she's like, okay, you're ready. So
Well, so now you're bringing up something else, which is parenting a child after you've achieved a dream and then they have a dream. That sounds really fucking hard. Like, how has it been for you guys?
You just have to be real. Like, I told my boys, I said, hey, it's only two people that have accomplished what you're trying to accomplish. It's more now, but I would say three now. Grant Hill grew up like you grew up. Kobe grew up like you grew up. And Steph Curry grew up like you grew up.
Gotcha.
But the difference between them and us and Pat Mahomes, but the difference between us and them is them motherfuckers overwork. They overwork. So with that name on the back, you're going to have to overwork.
Yep.
But the good thing about me, I never want any of my kids to play basketball. I don't. If you want to play, cool. If you don't, find me. I want them to be, like, I got seven children. I wouldn't mind a fucking veterinarian, doctor, a music exec, you know, makeup line. Like, I want to, you know, I want to be able to. So that's why I put it out to the world. Before you get some of this cheese, you need 2 degrees.
Yeah.
And like I tell them now, because they're starting to get old, I say, you want to get a business and you want me to fund it? Write it down. What do you mean write it down? I say, bro, business fucking plan.
Yeah, that's the version of your mom saying balance the check.
Yes, business plan. But so I have, look, man, I got seven. I don't like using this word. I ain't never had no problems with none of my babies. So I'm blessed.
And for me, it's dope because he's obsessed with it. Like, he really wants this on his own. I have a video. He's never been seen this. This is going to be the first time he hears it. I have a video of him. My wife put like a court in his room, like a little court. And it had
damn, your house that big?
No, it ain't. It's a little, the old Dr. J court. It's a little court.
I had the Dr. J.
Right, it's a little hoop.
What you mean court?
What?
Dude, it was court.
But he's, okay, it's like six, it's like the size of this table probably.
But she made it.
It was like a play school hoop.
Yes, and she made a sport court for the flooring.
You got a sport court in your son?
Let's stop that. So look, he's on there. He broke the rim. I have video. I'm going to show it to you. He's on there playing basketball with no hoop. He on some nutso shit. I'm like, oh, right. Okay. This is why we built in the gym, right? Because then COVID hits and everything else. But he's obsessed with it. 12 o'clock at night, New Year's, he's in the gym. He's obsessed with being good and being great. And that's what's dope about it.
I see him at the top of lists. How do you not let that ego creep in?
I told him before, I said, I don't care if you're ranked 1 or 1,000. Tunnel vision. We're not worried about that's kid shit. We're not worried about that. You're going to have haters. You're going to have people that love you. And you're going to have everything in between. We're on a mission. And if you're on this mission, then let's go. But you got to have tunnel vision. And so for him, he's locked in. And to his credit, he doesn't get caught up in that. And I'm thankful for that.
I had a serious proud dad moment the other day. My son made the dean's list at Texas Southern.
Congrats.
Yeah. Shakir, my twin, like that. Like, as a dad, I felt something like.
You was more proud of that than any bucket he's ever scored.
I'm more proud of that. Because you know me, I'm thinking, fuck, I could put him with this company. I'm already.
COO opening.
I'm already like, he can run the rebound. He can run the shot. Like, I'm already thinking, like, it was a great moment.
That is awesome. What did you think of Jamal when he first joined us on Tuesday nights? As a TV person,
I knew he was good. That's why certain people had to go upstairs and said, make sure he's here or I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, like every time we would do the show with Jamal when he would fill in if like Candace was out or whatever, we'd always be like, man, that was fucking fun.
Because you got to understand.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Because you got to understand. Like, it's a lot
I talked a lot of shit behind your back, but
yeah, of course
Shaq vouched for me.
Of course.
It's a lot of people talking now on podcasts and all this, but if I'm listening, I want somebody that's been there and done that. I've seen him in the trenches. I know who he is. So as a fan, if you know basketball, you know who he is. So I think that's what makes our show work. Because, you know, even though we're ceiling, we do all that stuff, G14 classification.
Yeah.
I'm on the top fucking floor.
Yeah.
He's in the building. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's on the top floor in terms of, like, if we're talking guard handles and stuff like that. Yes. Like,
but overall, he's the top of the top. I'm in the building.
In the building. So he's in the building.
I'm the Walmart greeter outside. Welcome to Shaq's building. Would you like to see Jamal?
No, but you and Ernie and Matt, you guys have administrative access because
I got it.
Because if you
see how he's putting it together, that's a businessman right there.
You know why? Because when it comes to communications and, you know, how this thing was always built, in order to be this, you have to have a communication degree. You guys did that.
Yes.
So you're in the building. You don't get the weapons that we get, but you're in the building.
We have a hall in the we have a wing in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, you do.
How has it been doing TV now that you've been doing it for like, I don't think I've asked you this in a while.
He's still mad at me.
Because he pranked him?
I didn't prank him. I said $1 million.
No, I want my money.
Oh.
No, I gave you your money.
No, no, no.
Bro, I said $1 million. Yeah,
I've heard of Starbucks.
Nah.
I want all about the Benjamins. I want some real Benjamins. You gave me Benjamin O'Neal.
You didn't read the fine print. I just said you were there.
No, first you said I didn't hear the fine print.
No, but I said I bet you $1 million.
Yeah, but I said 1,000. Then you went 10,000. Then you went big boy $1 million. Then you give me the Shaq bucks.
Yeah, but that was $1 million.
That don't even work in Big's chicken.
Yeah, you're right. Big's chicken. Big's chicken. Oh, that's an idea.
Big's chicken?
No, Shaq bucks. Thank you.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some money off of that.
Like a reward thing.
American soil.
You order the Shaq bucks, and then I sign it.
I love it, though.
And then you
like
spend
TV.
It.
I love it. And
what do you
now,
think of the world of TV and basketball and the people that talk about it?
And I was about to ask Shaq that. Like, how do we not get more people with, like, the G14 classification, but how do we clean some of this shit up? Because some of it's crazy.
I think, and I want to say this, I think they get mad at us because you got the wrong people talking. Like, if you're not great, I don't want you speaking on my greatness.
That's real.
Period. So, you know, there's a lot of guys on TV. I ain't gonna say
comparing legacies.
Oh, just you know, like if you were a mediocre player, you can't talk about, like if a great player has a bad game, just say he has a bad game. Don't start talking about he's not this and that, like, because now it's unauthentic. Like me, I have G14 classification said, unless he's averaging 28-15, I don't see him as a dominant big man. I can say that.
You can say he did.
Now, if I'm averaging 6 points, I can't say that. That's the problem with fans that they have with some of these guys. Again, our show, I think you know that we're allowed to say some of the stuff we said, but other shows, and I think that's why people hate us commentators every now and then. But like when I've exposed my secrets. If I talk about you, I like you. Reason why I'm talking about you because I get in player mode. I got to see what type of player you are. Like I already know I could come at him, and I already know what he's gonna do. Mm. Some guys, you come at them.
They shine away,
and you got to leave them alone. Like all these people that I've tried to help as big men, I just try to help them. Like, and then if you can't take that criticism and turn it into motivation, you don't deserve to be in the building. Mm. Like all I said about young fella was he need to average 28 and 15. And I don't know how to get to, he don't like me. I'm like, that has nothing to do with, like, I'm telling you how to get to Superman status. Mm. Like this is all you got to do every time. But I just... So I kind of had to leave him alone. I could, kind of had to, stay off him. But
did he ever reach out to you?
No, I don't, bro. I don't need conversations. Like I don't.
No, but for him, Shaq. So I'm saying, like, if I'm trying to be one of the best guards, and AI is willing to help me, if I reach out to him, or Michael Jordan, or whoever, did he ever reach out to you? Dwight's never reached out to
you? No, but if I put the information out, you don't need to reach out. Like, excuse me, Miss Camera Lady, take the picture here. We don't need to have a conversation because I put it out in the world.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, she could probably say, motherfucker, don't tell me how to take pictures. I've been doing it. And she could probably do all that, but we don't need to have that conversation because it's not a conversation thing. I'm like, I'm giving you free information.
Right.
And then when I did my special, I talked about it. I thought it was the rites of passage thing. Because Kareem and Wilt did the same shit to me. I'm in a restaurant one time, true story. I'm here, Wilt's right there. That motherfucker didn't even speak to me. Right this close.
Was it an event? Like, what were you guys?
I was just at a restaurant. He was in there. Guy said, hey, man, well, Mr. Chamberlain is there. So I walk in front of his table. Motherfucker looked at me like this, and I'm sitting just like this. He's sitting like that. He never looked, and I never looked. So instead of going, oh, Wilt and Chamberlain, I said, okay, I'm going to make this motherfucker remember my name. And then a couple years later, I'm doing my thing in L.A., and we're getting swept. Because my mom always told me, if you can find truth in criticism, don't be acting like no little bitch. She told me that one time.
Mom said
right?
that?
Yes.
Mr. Seal.
Yeah, so I'm putting up numbers, and they say, oh, Mr. Kareem, Shaq is putting up numbers way bigger than yours. And Kareem says, yeah, but he gets swept all the time. So is he really that great? That shit fucking hurt me. I was like, but instead of all Kareem's hating and it's like that's fucking Kareem. So right. He put the information out. I don't want to go. Jerry West, give me Kareem's number. Like he fucking put it out there. He put it out there for the world. So now, Mr. Shaq, if you want to be bad, And that's all I try to do. So, like, you get all that, oh, yeah, bro, I'm 50 years old. I don't want no beef. I don't want no problems. We done lived in L.A. when it was crazy. Yeah. We done went in the past. All, we done been in there. When I put out information, we're trying to help. If you don't like my help, just say you don't like my help, and I won't mention your name ever again.
Take yourself out. And I've never heard you say this, but I just saw, it's funny you said, Will. I saw where he threw, like, a fake jump ball with you and Pat Ewing.
Yeah.
Who's your Mount Rushmore Biggs? All time, not including yourself.
Yeah, not including myself. Five or four?
Four.
Four.
Mount Rushmore.
You got to go with Mr. Russell for championships.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
You got to go with Hakeem Olajuwon because I couldn't stop that motherfucker.
Mm.
And you got to go with the other most dominant player ever, Wilt Chamberlain. I wanted to pass him up in points so bad because I was going to arrogantly say, I'm the most dominant big man ever. I don't want to fucking hear nobody else's name.
You was thinking about that when you played?
Yes. No. When I start, you know, passing, yeah, when I start passing people in point. Like, I know he had two championships, so if I get two, I'm in the conversation. But when I got three and then I got four,
yeah,
and I was edging up to him in points, that's why I signed a two-year deal in Boston. I need to average like 10 points for two years.
You already knew this?
I already knew. I need to average like 10 points for 2 years, and I was going to pass him out because I was going to have a fucking press conference. I was going to be sued and booed and be like, I don't want to hear his fucking name ever again. So now, let's say most dominant.
He talked to me in IHOP.
Yeah, him, him and me, I can live with that. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, it's like, hey, man, another guy wants to get his jersey retired and do in Orlando and all that. And my father told me this a long time ago. My father told me this a long time ago. If it has to be discussion, then maybe you're not that great.
All right, so Jamal just did this thing. I heard it.
Yeah, but you're not going to ask what that means?
No, we've done this discussion. Then I say a player's name like Alonzo Mourning, and you go, see? And then I say, and he goes, Kobe, do you have to say anything? But what the real thing here is, this is the second time Jamal's been on this podcast. And it's the second time where he turns into the interviewer. And it's this move that he does.
Oh, my God.
That, like, he doesn't answer questions. You see what he did to you?
No, I saw it.
No, Shaq, don't. Like, it's me and you
so
against
now,
the world.
No. So now Jamal has to answer questions.
You heard Pac, right, me and you job. Against the world.
Yeah, okay. Job, so ahead. You asked him about Mount Rushmore. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of ball handlers?
Ooh.
Not including
ask
yourself.
Ask a follow-up question.
Not including yourself.
Kyrie.
Okay.
Isaiah.
Which Isaiah? Isaiah.
Original. Detroit Piston. White Chocolate.
You better have to say White Chocolate.
Yeah, White Chocolate.
You're usually the fourth, so I'm curious who you put in this spot.
Allen Iverson.
Mm.
I'm doing him four.
No Tim Hardaway?
Timmy was cold, but yeah, AI just mesmerized.
You asked Shaq, and he told a story about Kareem insulting him, and it motivated. Have you ever been insulted, and it stuck with you for a very long time?
Insulted?
Or motivated, or someone's critiquing
your game. You guys, it's Gary Payton's story. I've never told. My name's ringing in Seattle. I'm in high school. We see Gary Payton at the mall. He has Marty, Trev, all his boys, about 10 people. I'm in high school. I'm with his nephew and a friend of mine. We see him in the food court. It is packed. Gary Payton, it's the glove. It's after they went to the finals. And I didn't know this, that he had been hearing about me. So he goes down the line. He goes to my one friend. You terrible. I already played you. He points to his nephew. You ain't shit. I already beat you. And he points to me. I've never said hello to him. You come see me because I'm hearing about all these moves and all these tricks and shit you're doing. This is what we going to do. The bigger the crowd, GP gets louder and louder. Shaq knows this. Louder and louder. We're going to play one-on-one. If you beat me, I give you $1 million. A real million, not the Shaq million. I give you $1 million. If I beat you, I want you to walk around naked in your neighborhood. I'm running around running my trucks because I hear about all the shit you're doing. Let's ride. And he pointed like Denzel and Malcolm X. And when he went like this, all 15 people in the entourage went that way. I didn't back down. I'm like, all these people came through, screaming, going crazy before social media. That was my introduction to Gary Payton. So that was motivation.
What happened? Did you play?
We never played, but when I went through the draft a year later, I went and stayed with him in Oakland. And then he worked me out, and that was dope. Just the experience of GP, like a big brother.
All right, you talked about how you, because you then asked Shaq all these questions, about how you like to
hold
be
on,
around.
You're taking my questions and remixing them?
Yes. So you, this is my job.
You can't stop the rain, too.
you talk to old people. And you said, you know, why not reach out and get some gems?
For sure.
What is a gem that an OG vet gave to you that is buried in your chest?
Michael Jordan when I was working out with him in Chicago. And he said, a lot of people love what comes with the game, but don't actually love the game. And that stuck with me. Because the game, everything else comes from the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what you do after that, comes from what you provide on the court and what you bring. So that stuck with me forever.
It's honestly why, okay, I'm going to say something, and I hope this doesn't get clipped out, like, whatever. That phrase,
message,
more than an athlete, which I think was important because it came at the foot of that shut up and dribble,
right?
And that happened, and then it turned into more than an athlete. And then from that, I think athletes were like, oh, I'm not just an athlete, I'm also this, this, and this. Sure. But they also forgot that the athlete part opens up everything. You can do all of that, but like, you have God-given ability. You've worked for 15 straight years to get to this point. Don't abandon it now, and don't feel guilty. I feel like some athletes feel guilty about being an athlete.
I knew Shaq for Shaq. I knew Shaq for that. I knew Shaq for the dominance on the court first. That was the introduction to Shaq. And then we learned he can do all these things at the highest level, but I knew him as a basketball player first. Yeah.
Athletes has been a question all the time. Like, how do you do all this stuff? So first of all, you got to play and play.
Got to be good.
Well, drop 30 and 15.
And you got to win. That's first of all. And you got to win all the time.
Think about it. Jokic was this mystery guy. Now he's doing hotel commercials. Because once you win, all that other shit comes with it. You also talked about, why would a younger guy reach out? What younger players in the league reached out to you that it caught you off guard of their maturity and their willingness to learn?
Man.
Because I know you have a bunch.
Yeah. Kyrie. He came and stayed with me in Seattle. He was last year in Boston, so probably 3 or 4 years ago. And we worked out every day for a month. But I was surprised to hear from him. And then what's crazy is he told me this story. If he used to come watch me in Seattle when he was 11 years old in the pro-ams. And he'd be the kid dribbling and doing stuff in between timeouts. So you never know who's watching.
That was little kids.
Yeah.
You're like, if I hit this shot, someone's watching. They're going to think that I'm great.
Yep.
So wait,
that was everything.
What was a typical day of Kyrie staying at your house? Like,
didn't stay at my house, but came and stayed in the city.
Yeah.
He has his own setup. But a typical day is we would meet at different gyms, University of Washington or Seattle Pacific, whatever. Work out, I'd make sure I had all the smoothies, all the vibe was right for everything. If he wanted to go work out and not shoot that day or not work out that day, I have a gym set up for him. But he had family up there as well.
How many shots were we getting up?
Oh, a bunch. We had some. If there was ever footage of me and him going at it, oh my God, it was crazy.
Who won?
He'd do a move. We actually, at the end of it, I think he won 6 wins, I had 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, not one-on-one. The one-on-one, it was.
So we need a game 13 then.
Yeah.
We did need game 13.
Yeah.
Got a court right here.
Something else I've never said. I was supposed to be Uncle Drew.
But what happened?
I was supposed to be Uncle Drew. He hit me Uncle Drew with you.
What happened?
I just got traded to Minnesota. And Thibodeau, when we were going to shoot, Thibodeau had off-season workouts. I didn't want to be Hollywood coming from L.A.
What's that mean, off-season workouts?
You know Thibodeau ain't got no off switch. Like, they're doing training camp type workouts during fucking September, that area, August, September area, when y'all were
shooting. That's real?
Because y'all were shooting, you shot in Atlanta, right?
No, but I'm saying, they used to make y'all work out in the summer?
Yeah, Tibbs. And I'm going to a new team, and I'm like, Shaq's like, summer workout, what's that?
Yeah, once I leave.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's when Shaq was growing his hair, jumping in pools.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
Right.
Somewhere.
But no, so I was supposed to be an Uncle Drew as well.
I have an idea that I'd like to pitch. You talked about Shaq walking out to the Undertaker theme. We see this in baseball when the closer comes out, they play music and it's this big thing. If you're a Jamal Crawford, a sixth man of the year, should a sixth man of the year get an entrance song for when they come into the game?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, Shaq,
what should the song, should the song be?
Well, everyone, no, you get your own.
I know, but he's the one that thinks all
6 million ways to die. Choose one.
We get that. We got to play that.
That one.
6 million
ways to die. Sure. Yeah, that one.
That's that Cypress Hill.
Yeah, no, that's.
But wouldn't it be cool if like the lights go off for a second? Now entering the game.
That line from Cypress.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, yeah, they did.
You said what?
Now entering the game, 2-time sixth man of the year. Bow,
bow. 6 million ways to die. Choose one.
Jack. All-time cypher, if you had a birthday party, dead or alive, you could have any 5 rappers
He's
in history.
He's turning into a host again.
You could have any 5 rappers in history at your birthday party, dead or alive.
Big Daddy Kane.
Ooh.
You know that Big Daddy Kane like comments on all of our posts?
Big That's Daddy Kane.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel great.
It makes me feel great, and I've never met Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah,
so
Big Daddy Kane.
He's never been asked this. I like it.
Red Man.
Red's ill.
Fife Dawg.
Ooh.
Biggie.
You got one slot left.
And Pac. Because I used to see Pac and Nipsey. And we always used to.
You seen Pac wear his jersey?
No.
You ever seen that?
No. When was this?
He wore it in the video. He wore it in the shoot. He got the Orlando 32 on.
I used to see him all the time at the. Remember the Comedy Store on Tuesday?
On Sunset?
Yeah. So I would always see him there. But like he'd be over there. Like I would always. Like I wish I could have just shook his hand and Nipsey's hand.
You never did?
No. We'd see him and, you know, respect. Because, like, my thing is, when I see another superstar, I know how it is to be bothered. I don't want to bother him. You know what I mean? So,
like, that's why you leave me alone.
Like, you know what? Like, for example, if I wouldn't have had you hook me up with Jason, I would have never tried to meet Taylor Swift. But because I had the hookup, but even when I met her, I said, this is going to be 3 minutes.
Hey, how did that go? We never talked about that.
So I went the first time.
This is at the Super Bowl.
Her security said, wait to halftime. So now I'm like, the Shaq just got
big time. You know
how
this goes.
Yeah, yeah. The Shaq just got big time. So I go. But the crazy thing, luckily, is I don't know if the numbers are correct, but I was in 188 and she was in 192. So it was just a walk out, boom, boom, she's right there. So I didn't want to bother her during the game. So I went down there and the guy was like, I said, hey, tell Jason Shaq I want to see Taylor. It was just me by myself. So guy comes out, you got to wait to halftime. So now I'm like, so I go to halftime. Me,
I shouldn't have did this shit.
Yeah, exactly. So me and my partner, Jamie Salter, we go down, we take a picture, and I see her. Ice Spice is fine as fuck, by the way. She's really,
focus. We'll get back to
her. she's really hot. So we'll just take a picture, and I just come, but she was nice, very nice.
What'd you guys talk about?
Nothing. I asked
her. Did she go, Shaq?
Yes.
How did that feel?
Like I...
He used to that now.
I'm
curious if anyone's ever been like,
I saw it, and I don't know if it's true or not. Say I'm the third most recognizable face in the world. It's Pope, Barack, than me.
That is crazy.
I saw it. I don't know how accurate it is. So I'm like when people...
I just don't know if Barack's ahead of you.
Like when people see me, I don't...
Like if I'm being honest... But she, like the Pope, he's wearing a hat. It's a dead giveaway. You take the hat off the Pope, Shaq's more famous than the Pope.
I mean, but she was nice, and I just made it real quick. And then when I asked her, I said, have we ever met before? She said, no. And then the reason why I put out the post with Ice Spice, not because I was trying to flirt, but I didn't really blow her up, but I just wanted to show her some respect, too. That's why I put the post out. Like, because I was in there, it was all about, Shaq met Taylor, and she was in the picture, so I had to come back and say, by the way, this little woman is fine, too. Like, bro, you got to understand, Shaq don't, I don't flirt like that.
Yeah, you slide in the DMs.
My flirting is unorthodox. Hold on. Just because I say hi don't mean I'm sliding in the DM.
That's no, but I know that you slide.
You know he slides in the DM.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying hi.
I was drinking with Chuck last night. And he goes, man, I can't believe Shaq got me with that OnlyFans. He's like, what is it? And I had to explain to him what OnlyFans was. And then I was talking to him and I said, do you really still get called Shaq? He said, I get called Shaq 25 times a week. He said, 25 times a week. People come to me and go, Shaq. And I was like, really? I go, but you're Charles Barkley. He goes, everybody thinks I'm Shaq.
No, Charles is not this fucking good looking at all.
Do you ever get called, ever get mistaken? He got mistaken for George Foreman the other day, and he got really upset.
He looked like George Foreman. He does. Big fucking head. Both of them got big heads.
Did y'all think y'all be at the front? Like, you and him especially? Like, of the whole movement for athletes going to TV and everything? Because...
Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
You know what I mean? Like,
because when I came in, I wanted to be on the Brian Gumbel, the professional tip. I did fucking terrible in first year. And shout out to TK. He pulled me down and said,
former producer Tim Kiley.
He said, if you keep doing this shit, you ain't going to be working here long. And I said, what do you mean? He said, be who you are. I said, you want that? And again, the reason why it works for us, because we realize if we're going, all the hardworking people in the world, we keep you up at 12, midnight, 1, 2, got to make it fun. Like, if I watch a game, it's not a good game, but I still want to watch Adam, Jamal, and Shaq, please make me fucking laugh so I can go to bed happy. Like, who wants to watch a shitty game and then watch three shitty guys talk about
break
shit.
Down yeah, the yeah, break field down. Goal percentage.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right. Nobody wants to see that.
But you guys know when something's clicking, it feels good.
Their shit is magic.
No, our shit. Hey,
it's magic.
Hold on. We also won an Emmy. Didn't we win an Emmy 1 year?
We've won an Emmy every year, yeah. But we don't get any because we're talent.
What do you mean?
Who made that rule?
Yeah, I
know. This is show.
We won last year.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, y'all are like fucking magic.
Bro, but this show that we created, we good.
All right.
We're going to do some big things. Trust me on that.
Sprinkle
me, man.
Okay, we about
sprinkle
to
me.
I want to talk about real big. Some NBA. We're
about really. To go in the office and be like, show me the money.
Those real dollars, not those Shaq dollars.
If I go, my boys go with me.
when you
don't get flustered.
You have your finger on the pulse of all the young players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the thing that fans don't see that you guys will see is you know who has the mentality and who has the work ethic, and you talk to the coaching staffs and all of that. If you were to buy stock in any young player right now, let's say 25 years and under, who is the first stock that you're buying?
Well, you got Shaq.
How old is SGA?
Under 25.
Yeah, he's under 25.
So SGA.
So yep.
That's one of your big stocks. Let's go back and forth.
Okay.
All right. And Edwards.
Anthony Edwards.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm. Paolo Banchero.
Mm.
The Wagner boys.
Both Franz and Mo. I don't
the
know.
Wagner boys. Both of the Wagner boys. I'm going to split the stock price.
They've
to
already split.
Yes, the Wagner boys.
Who else is on that list?
There's a lot. The fact that Luka hasn't been said.
Luka.
How old is Luka?
I'm thinking he's older than 25.
Oh, yeah. 25.
Luka's 25.
Yeah.
Right. But can we say this, like, we talk about these guys. What's underrated is Kevin Durant went to the finals at 23.
Wow.
He did?
Yeah.
With that as young Thunder against the Heat.
23 years old.
That's right.
We see our young players doing what they do. He went to the finals at 23.
Remember that.
That's why I say with Luka, if Luka wins one, like this year, with the numbers he's putting up.
Oh, they're insane.
There will be a conversation to be had that will be bonkers.
Not really.
Why not really?
Right now, he's the second best in Dallas Mavericks history, only because of the championship. Now, if he wins one, you could put him in that conversation with Dirk. He ain't over here yet. He's still in Dallas. He's a great player, but he's in Dallas.
I want to have this conversation. Who are the NBA players, no matter the age, that you would legitimately buy a ticket for to go watch because you find them entertaining?
Ben Simmons, because I would want to learn how you can make $80 million and play 55 games. Teach me. Teach me how you can fucking play 55 games in three seasons and get $30 million, $40 million, and get another $40 million just by saying your back hurt. Get some fucking icy hot. Man up.
I saw a meme that said he's the NBA representative of the McDonald's ice cream machine.
Yes.
Oh, my yes.
God. That was
moving right along.
Yeah, who would you buy a
it's
ticket?
It's a new movie coming out, Ocean's
like
15,
Luka to
How
me,
to Rob the NBA.
Luka to me is at the top of the... I would pay to watch him play.
I would pay to watch Booker and KD. Because if you watch the Suns, you're getting both of them.
Mm.
Those two. I still feel like they're going to surprise people in the West. I'm telling you.
Well, KD's on a tear. As we're recording this, he's got seven straight games of 35 plus.
It's the way
four
he's
straight.
Doing
he's never
it. It's the
done
way
that.
He's doing it.
Nobody is beating my vice president of the Big Man Alliance. It's not going to happen.
Jokic.
Yes, he's the vice president.
Would you pay to go watch Jokic?
I would.
Yes,
yeah, I would too.
I would.
We need to fly down there and watch him play.
Let's do it.
Get him on the big podcast.
You probably won't do it.
Promise you'll only do it in Serbian. Only
if the first 10 minutes is about horses.
Didn't our boy, Knuckleheads, asked him to be on podcast. He told him no. Yeah, I think.
We got to pull up on him, Shaq.
Huh?
Yeah, we got to pull up on him, Shaq.
I don't like
that. Let's go Denver on fire.
What's
the
his
jet.
Job?
Let's go Denver.
Julio.
Ahmed.
Oh, he's Arab. Are you Arab? Oh, salam alaikum, brother. I apologize. I thought you was Mexican. You got the
guy here. Okay, he been in LA too long.
No, he left. Yeah, I thought he was Mexican. No, that's his job to get people. Like, I don't like asking people. Appreciate it.
So I need to go.
Yes, you got
to
get out of here.
To TNT.
All right, we love
but
you.
I want to say this. It's been a blast to work with Jamal, and I want to give him his props. It's hard to come into a system and then fit right in and then make everyone bloom. And I want to say that all the listeners to the Big Podcast has now had two examples of how he can sit in the chair and then interview T.I. and then sit down today and make the content great. You're an amazing team player, but at the same point, when it's time for you to go, you have the bag and handles and with the microphone. And so I just want to say it's an honor being your teammate, brother, and we really appreciate
it. It's an honor being your teammate.
Yeah, it's our teammates.
Yeah, man, and I hope y'all... And I hope y'all stick with me in the future.
Jamal, you're the fucking man.
No, you are.
For Shaquille O'Neal, for Jamal Crawford, I am Lefko. Thank you, as always, for watching the Big Pod.
Yeah!
About the Benjamins. I want some real Benjamins. You gave Benjamin O'Neal.